This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show from Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist. Here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, as the man said, here's Mike Winters.
Are we on?
We are.
Why doesn't it sound like I'm on?
You can hear yourself.
Oh, okay.
No, we're on.
Well, thank you for listening today to the Garden Show of Mike Winters. And if you have questions, you can call 673-4464. And it doesn't matter what I'm speaking about. If you have a question, you can interrupt. It can be a different subject or whatever. And I'll get right to the question because I've got 6 pages of notes, so if I get lost, I just pick up the thing and go for it.
He really does.
Yeah, I do. So don't worry about that. But like I say, 673-4464. And I believe we are finally in a fall pattern. Now, today it's sunny and nice. I don't know if that's good or bad. But we are finally in a fall pattern. We've got cooler days, a little bit of rain. And with this type of weather, our landscaping options increase dramatically when we're planting shrubs and trees. And it's a whole lot easier to do, and it's eminently more successful that you'll plant it correctly, maybe water it once and leave it alone, and then next March or whatever, depending on the weather, the leaves come or the flowers come, and it just continues to grow and makes the day for you. And that's, you know, fall planting is good. And that's a little bit of what I wanted to speak about today. And because plants, of course, now, as you look around, have already started to go into dormancy. And so there's less stress to the plants when it's cooler and wet. They slow down. They just kind of, they function, but they barely function. You know, it's like, oh, it's time for vacation. It's time to rest.
They're in the safe mode.
Yeah, they're in the safe mode. And they will still slowly continue to produce new roots, but at a much much slower pace. In other words, if you got a tree or a shrub and you planted it this week, it's not just totally dormant, but there are feeder roots that will come as long as the temperatures stay above 40 degrees or somewhere in that vicinity. They'll continue to grow until the ground either gets way too cold or way too wet or a combination of both of those items at the same time, then they'll kind of really slow back. But they're always alive, and even though they're not sprouting flowers or new leaves, they're still taking nutrition from the soil so that when spring finally gets here, they go to town and start to grow for you really, really well. Spring pops out and bang, they're gone because they've had this October, November, December, January, February. They have, you know, 4 months of vacation.
Yeah,
basically,
yeah.
They're rested up. They're chomping at the bit. to
wouldn't it be nice if we could do that?
Oh yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah,
So the point of that is. I'm going to do a little kind of a commercial here.
Okay.
So every year at this time, we have our one and only major plant sale at our nursery. Uh-huh. Like all of our outdoor plants are half price. And so if you've been wanting a shade tree or a truckload of shrubs, now is the time to score big time. And so, like, in other words, if that tree is $100, you get it for 50. Huh? That's a deal. Nobody else makes deals like that in Douglas County, I guarantee it. This is for all of our outdoor plants, not just a select few. You know, there's a bunch over here and a bunch over here. No, it's for everything that's outdoors. The things that are excluded, of course, are any indoor plants. They're never on sale, but they're a good price anyway. Or our florist or, you know, any of that stuff. It's just the trees and the shrubs that are out there year round. So it's just it's a good thing. It's like
cash only, right?
Cash only. Yeah, I'm going to get to that.
Oh,
that
okay.
That was the next line here.
It
is cash only. Cash meaning no credit cards, but checks are okay. And the reason we don't do the credit cards is because the credit card company hits us with another 5% or something like that on top of the transaction. And it's so much easier. Just bring a pocket full of cash or a pocket full of checks. Hey, we do the deal. We'll get her done.
It's done right there.
Everybody's happy. And, we get a good deal with 50% off, and we get a good deal in that we get 50%. Okay.
That works.
Yeah. I mean, it's what it is, basically wanting to move a lot of plant materials because we've got a lot of stuff coming in for next spring, and we have to make room. And, and if we don't do this kind of sale, that means we have to repot a lot of the materials that have outgrown their pots or are on the verge of outgrowing their pot.
Yeah.
And so you pot them up into the next size. There's a lot of labor and materials and all that. And then it takes about 6 months for them to root out in that brand new pot, and then
so you got them another year, basically.
Exactly. So and we do that to some things if we have a lot of them and grow them up to the next size and all that. But it's so much easier just to move the material and get brand new fresh in the spring. It's good for us, and it's good for the folks that come in and buy the stuff.
Probably good for the plants, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So it's a great sale because the weather is perfect, like I said earlier, for planting. And you can save a bundle of money. I mean, that's the thing. If you can find another nursery in all of Douglas County that has this kind of sale that lasts for a whole week, that's like from Monday the 19th to Saturday the 24th, and our hours are 9 to 5, but, of course, I'll be there at 6. I always am. And I've had people come as early as 6:30, but don't expect a balloon parade if you come that early. But we'll be there, and we'll have friendly staff to help you load up, answer your questions, and all that kind of stuff. So if you've never planted anything, we will give you instructions on how big the hole should be, what type of soil mix is best, how to water it, how to fertilize it, when to fertilize it, the type of fertilizer you need. And we want you to be successful with your landscape projects. We want you to be successful with the plants that you buy from us. And if you follow our basic instructions, we don't try to complicate it or anything, but this is for this particular plant. I even draw pictures for people so they really can get a handle on it. And basically I said, hey, if you do this, it can't help but grow, period. Mm-hmm. Because
you can always go back to the instructions.
Yeah, guess what? So easy. Yeah. It's so easy. We want our folks that come in and buy stuff from us to have good success. Now, of course, fall and is a great time to plant a new lawn or to rehab your existing lawn. And rehab just means that you got an old tired lawn that's been struggling, and there's just it's kind of brownish and light green, and there's a few weeds in it and that kind of stuff. Just a few steps to bring it back to nice. But like I say, the fall is good because it's not going to be hot anymore. It's not going to be 90.
No.
I pray that it's not going to be 90.
I wish it would, but
oh,
no.
Stop. You and Kyle.
I like the warmer weather.
Well, if I was in the swimming pool business, I would like it too, but I'm not. But step one on how to bring back and rehab an old tired lawn.
Yeah.
Number one, get in there and cut it short. I always say don't cut a lawn short, but if you're going to rehab it, cut it short, real short, so you can get down to the nitty gritty. And then rake out all the dead grass. You can use a power rake that you can rent. A power rake is actually called a thatching machine, and it combs all the dead stuff out. And that's what you want to do. You want to give it some air. It needs some oxygen to breathe. The soil, the grass is too tight. The soil is too tight. You want to aerate it. You want to open it up so that when you do reseed it and fertilize it, that fertilizer can get down into the root systems that are still there, and you can rehab it that way. Now, when you do this, it can breathe. That's the thing. Yeah, it's like these forests that we've had burned up. You get too much stuff in there, and they go downhill. You thin it out, and it gets better. Well, that's what you're doing to the lawn. That's the same principle. But within 10 days or less, you're going to see a new lawn beginning to come back. You're going to see new grass coming. And some of the old stuff, it just kind of fades away, and the green comes instead of the brown patches that you were looking at. And then it's a funny thing, you know, if you continue to fertilize, every 60 to 70 days with a good lawn food, it'll stay green and healthy. And after it gets good and green and healthy, then you don't cut it short anymore. You leave it kind of longish. And when it's longish, it helps keeps the weeds down. It helps keeps the moisture in. It's a plus plus all the way down the road. Simply put, a healthy lawn has less weeds. A healthy lawn has less disease. A healthy lawn is able to fight off the various fungi and bugs and every other detrimental plant-eating thing we have in Douglas County.
Ugly little things. What do you call them?
Grubs. Yes. Yeah. Oh, I was at a place this morning, and my client says, "Well, do you think we have any grubs?" And I looked at her lawns, and I thought, "Man, they're really looking good." This is a lady that we've taken care of their place. We show up there a couple times a year and do some major stuff. And I said, "Man, the lawn looks good." But we're standing in the driveway, and we happen to look down on the pavement, and there was a couple of grubs crawling across the pavement. So she quickly squashed them. I thought, "Well, okay, we'll grub them. We'll put the grub stuff on there.
We'll take care of those pups."
Anyway, we'll do that. Now, like I said, a healthy lawn has less weeds, has less problems, and consistently fertilization, consistent, keep an eye out on things and control them before they get out of hand. That's the key to success. That's simple. It's like if you got a ping in your car engine and you say, that's just a little ping. And a month and a half later, it's a bigger ping.
Believe me.
Then another month goes by and the engine falls out. See what I'm saying? If you'd have taken care of it in the first time, it might only cost you a couple hundred bucks to get it fixed.
Instead of $1,400.
Or $14,000 or whatever. Yeah. whatever. Like I say, if there's bare spots in your lawn and you don't want to go to the other, all the stuff I said, well, just go ahead and reseed them. Get them and just use good quality grass seed. Cover it with a little peat moss or potting soil or something so that the grass is covered. The seed is covered, because otherwise the birds love to say, "Well, man, there's some fresh seed they just put down. Let's go eat it, Bob." And
easy
so
pickings.
Blackbirds and sparrows and crows or whatever is out there is eyeballing that stuff, and they're looking for a free meal. So cover it, and they kind of can't see it, so they won't bother it. But you do that, and you're going to have grass, and like I say, about a week to 10 days with this kind of weather. And I don't see any rain on the forecast here for the next week, I guess.
Nope.
It's so
sunny and cloudy.
Yeah, sunny and cloudy. So, and there's moisture in the morning regardless of the rain. So as long as the seed gets some moisture and doesn't dry out completely, it's going to germinate for you. And if you look around now, and I'm looking at my where I park my rig at home, it's all gravel. There's probably 8 inches of gravel in there over the last umpty-ump years. And after this set of rains, I'm looking, and there's all this green grass coming up in my rocks. And I'm like, how in the world has it been sitting there all this time waiting for some rain, and all of a sudden, boom. And I spray it every year. I spray it with Roundup and everything else, in April or May, and just to keep the weeds down. And here they are. It didn't bother them at all.
They're back.
As soon as it got a little rain, I said, "Hey, here we are, baby. You ain't getting rid of us." We got a break?
We do.
Okay. We'll go for a break.
We'll be right back.
We'll be back
with more Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Hello there. We're back with Mike Winters, Lawn and Garden Show on a kind of nice sunny afternoon.
Well, yeah, I don't mind sun if it's only 70 or 65.
Oh, okay.
No, it's like when it gets over 70 that I hate it. No, I'm good to about, oh, shoot, I'm good to about 85, 86. Yeah. And when it gets above that, my brain starts to cook.
Turns scrambled eggs.
Get out of here. Let's get, why is it going to be so stinking hot? Anyway, I'm talking about landscape renovations.
And the line is open, telephone lines.
We don't have a call.
We don't have a call.
Well, if you want to call us, 673-4464, and I will answer your question, whatever question it is.
We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, always. This time of year, like I was saying earlier, in the earlier segment, there's just enough rain and moisture to germinate the grass. You don't have to turn on a sprinkler system or anything like that. You don't have to get out there and carefully water. Yeah, give it a shot the day you put it in, and then it's probably good this time of year. Like I said earlier, I got grass coming up in my gravel.
Yeah.
And how in the world it got there, and all that seed's been sitting there all summer long in the gravel where I drive on it every day.
Yeah, running over
And we get that little bit of rain, it was probably about the first of last week. I went out there, and I go, what is that green stuff? Hmm. And I look real close, and there's little grass,
blades of
about half an inch long.
Yeah,
and it looks like I planted it, for crying out loud. No way. I'm not going to bother spraying it now, but
I didn't plan this.
Yeah. So if you do step 1, 2, and 3 correctly, you can rehab your lawn. You can make it look good, and if it looks good now, it's going to be good through the winter and next spring when it's coming out. It still looks good, and like I say, consistency and fertilization and watering as spring comes on and we get into the summer, it won't take a beating like maybe it took this year, because so many lawns I saw in Douglas County and driving around were really taking a beating when we had 90 plus degrees for weeks on end.
Yeah.
It seemed like it didn't matter how much you pump the water to it, it didn't help, because it was just too hot too consistently every day without a break.
Mm-hmm.
And grass, being a living thing, says, hey, I'm going into dormancy, and that's what it basically does, goes into dormancy. So
I've had enough of this.
So, like I say, fall is the best time for a landscape renovation, and if you take advantage of this weather, it's less work, actually, all the way around. Yeah. Now, here's another cool thing. The leaves, as they're starting to drop, you have several choices. You can rake them up in piles and burn them. You can rake them up in piles and put them out. If you live in the city of Roseburg, you can put them out on the curb, and the city of Roseburg will come by and pick them up.
Nice.
And they'll take them up to the dump up there, and they'll put them in this gigantic pile, and they'll decompose and turn into some of the finest soil you ever saw. And then when you go up there to dump your trash and you see this beautiful soil, you say, gosh, I'd like to have some of that at my yard.
Yeah.
And they load it up for you and charge you whatever they're going to charge you, $10 a load, or I don't know what the heck it is.
Where you could have had it
in your yard all the time and got it for free, because because it's what happens to old leaves. As they fall down, they disintegrate. They become compost. They become some of the best nutritious potting soil or potting mix that... What the heck is going on?
I don't know.
Man.
There was nothing on.
Yeah. Are we still on?
Yes, we're still on.
I'm just talking. I'm not touching any of the buttons, trust me. But like I say, if the compost pile is good. You can put leaves in there. Take your neighbor's leaves if he doesn't want them. Put them in a corner of your yard. Start your own pile. You won't regret it. It's good for potting stuff. It's good for tilling into your garden. It's good for just spreading around mixing it in with your bark mulch and things like that. And you just pile them and let them rot. Let the rain hit it, let the sun hit it, and it takes about a year before you start getting some good stuff at the bottom of the pile. But once it starts... I don't know what's happening. I'm not in charge of the board here. I'm just talking. So sorry for the interruptions. I don't know what this is all about. Maybe we're being invaded by Martians or something. Who knows? But these leaves will begin to rot. Leaves, really small branches like twigs, and you just keep adding the leaves, and you keep adding the small twigs. Here's another good thing. If you got eggshells, and instead of throwing them in the garbage, throw them on your compost pile. That's called calcium. They'll break down very quickly. Old vegetables. Maybe throw some mulch in there. And like I said, within a year, you'll have the best compost in the world. And you can use it in your pots if you have potted plants. So you can use it in your garden to till it into your garden. You can use it to plant Are we okay? Are we being invaded?
I think so. There's absolutely nothing here.
keep going.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't know, man. But anyway, you're adding organic material to your landscape and to your soil, and you're improving every part of it. So if you sometimes folks don't like to use commercial fertilizer, well... if that's your choice, great. But that's what the compost will do. It's going to add nutrition, not in the way that a commercial fertilizer does it. It's compost is more of a long range, long term kind of enrichment process that gets things going. So. Whoa, hang on.
Okay, keep going.
Are we okay?
I think so.
Okay. That was weird. In 17 years, I've never heard that happen.
Uh-huh. Me neither.
Okay. So, when you're shopping for plants this time of year, don't be put off by the appearance of the trees or the shrubs. Because they're not going to be spring, fresh-looking, spring-like, kinds of deals. They just won't be. For one thing, they've had a very hard summer season, and when you get many hot, dry days, it takes their toll on the leaves. Even if you're watering every day, which we water our potted stuff in pots every day, we try to early morning water or late evening watering when the majority of the heat is gone. But inevitably, they aren't in the sun all day. The pots actually heat up, and the leaves kind of take a hit. They kind of curl. They get ugly. They die. They fall off. And it's just kind of, you know, in a black plastic container, that heat goes right into the root system. And so they struggle because they are just heated up from the sun shining on them all day. So don't judge the plant's health by how it looks. On trees, you want to look for new buds on the branchlet or the tips of the branch. Just there's little tiny buds. You'll see them if you look closely. Where say there's a leaf that's kind of curly and brown, and you go, oh, there's something wrong with that. No, it's not. It just went into dormancy more quickly. And if you look under that leaf or just pop that dead leaf off, you'll see a brand new bud already formed, and it's ready for next spring. And that's what it does. And if you need to, just scratch the bark on a limb and just scratch it with your fingernail and see if it's green or it's brown underneath. If you scratch it and it's brown and hard, you know that tree, or at least that branch of that tree or shrub, is not alive. But if you scratch it and it's green, It's good. It's okay. Next spring, it'll come out. So, like I say, it's not spring now. They've been through a hard summer, so they're not going to look like, you know, it's April or May. They've gone through this period, and they're alive. They're just not looking their best at this point. So don't judge that plant by how it looks. And then if it's green, the plant's alive and it's just went dormant and it wants to survive, so it goes dormant. So fall planting is a great time, and you'll have a great success, and they'll go quickly next spring, provided you plant it correctly and use the correct soil and don't overwater and don't overfertilize, and it'll be good. Now, early in August this year, I commented about the premature leaf coloring and the leaf drop that I was seeing around the county. I mean, I saw some red maple trees actually turning to their fall color on the end of July. And those were at my nursery in good soil, in good shape, and they'd been growing many years in the same spot. But it was so hot and so dry that they said, we're giving it up for this year. We're just going to do our fall thing and drop color up and drop our leaves. And that has happened around the county, too. All this heat plants just won't respond to it. It's not the healthiest thing. It's like if we were out working all day in the heat, day after day, exactly, after about 2 weeks, we'd probably go, I'm going in dormancy. I got to go in the house. And all this part of this that occurs is because of there's less soil moisture that has been happening over the last 4 or 5 years. And what I mean by that is I keep track of the rainfall. Yeah, and our normal rain is anywhere from 32 to 34 inches a year. Well, we've been coming up consistently with 24, 26. So each year we've gotten less and less moisture. We've gotten less and less snowpack in the mountains. And consequently, that soil moisture in the soil disappears. It dissipates. It's only good for so long. Excuse me. And then it goes away. And like I say, it's been happening for 4 or 5 winters. And in landscapes that are irrigated, this has not been the case. In other words, if your yard is looking good and you've got a sprinkler system in there, or you water things with hoses, it doesn't matter, because there's enough moisture for that tree or that shrub to continue. But 2 years ago, I began to notice some of our native Doug fir, our oak, and maples, and madrones even, starting to die prematurely. And I thought, what the heck is happening? And as I added up the years of below normal rainfall, I saw a pattern of tree death that has increased since then. And my conclusion, and I don't know how scientific this is, but my conclusion was that the lack of adequate soil moisture was causing this problem to happen. And after 2 years of observing this, the death rate of the native trees has increased as the precipitation average has been below normal. And you can see it as you drive around Douglas County. You can see stands of young trees. And I spoke about this last year a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think the year before. Mm-hmm. Because I saw it happening in young stands of Doug fir, like out in Dixonville or in the Melrose area, or even up the North Umpqua, where there's a little bit more moisture and cooler and stuff like that. But it's just happening. And, pines and madrones have not been affected because they're a much hardier tree, but even some of our oaks have been affected early. Not to the extent of the firs or some of the others, but the hardier things are still hanging on. And the rain, you know, and they'll be okay unless the rain says, yeah, we're not going to rain here anymore, which turns us into a desert, you know, and we'll have to get desert plants like cacti, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I've only seen this happening on south and west aspects because the slopes are in full sun all the time and are the driest. Whereas on an east aspect or an east-facing hill or a north-facing hill, there's more shade. On an east-facing hill, you get morning sun. It's not 99 degrees when it comes up. It's, you know, 60 or whatever. And by the time it gets over the hill, the shade begins earlier. So consequently, there's more moisture for that tree or that shrub to have. And on a north-facing slope, you won't find much of this problem because there's more moisture in that soil because it's in shade more of the time, so the sun's not beating down on it. So that's kind of the simple way of putting it.
Shall we take a break?
We'll take a break.
All righty, we'll be back in a couple of minutes with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show right here on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we are back.
Are you sure? Are we going to be interrupted by Fox News a couple more times?
Or? I don't think so. Everything looks okay. So
Computer glitch.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Aliens and all that. Anyway, you turned me down.
China virus.
Why'd you turn me down? Okay, I was hearing music, and now I'm not hearing
music. Oh, the music ended. Oh,
okay.
No, you're okay.
I don't know what's going on in here.
You're good.
Yeah. Well, anyway, the point of all this info that I'm giving you on drought and dry and all that kind of stuff is that if you are planting trees for the long term, make sure you can irrigate them. Make sure you can get some water to them, even if you have to carry it in a 5-gallon bucket for the first year or maybe the first 2 years.
Well, that'll get you in shape.
You don't have to do it every day. you know, once every couple of weeks, once every 10 days or something like that from say, July to September or July to October, just keep them alive. They'll work. I mean, and I've mentioned on this show multiple times about the trees that I've planted on my slopes that I've never watered, and they're doing good. And it's just the type of tree that you select. It's the type of soil that you planted in. And, like I said, maybe the first year you might give it a bucket of water. Maybe not, because some of my trees I plant in very hard places just to test them, just so that I know I know what I've done with that tree. I know what kind of tree it is. I know what kind of site it is. I know what kind of soil it is. So I can then, with a surety, say on this radio station, hey, this is a tough tree or this is a tough shrub. And if you do this, this, and this and give it the basics, it's going to live, period. But if you give it too much of this or not enough of this ever, you're going to have problems with it. So, and I've been doing this, you know, the experimenting thing for a number of years just because somebody will tell me, my botany professor used to say weird things all the time, and I would test him. See if he was right. Yeah. Well, a lot of times he was right. Excuse me. And but there was times I said, "Hey, I made it work anyway, Mr. Hunt." And he go, "Oh, yeah." And we'd have a discussion about it. He was a great guy. He taught me a lot of stuff. He taught me botany and he taught me silviculture and all that kind of thing. And I had a lot of respect for him. But he was always pushing me. always wanting me to do more,
do more.
So I push him back a little bit, and you know,
a little tug of war.
Yeah, a little tug of war. But we remained, after I graduated from college, we remained friends until
until
he passed away. You know,
yeah.
He was like 93 when he passed away.
Well, he had a long life.
Oh yeah, yeah. He was a smart man, a good man, and when you were in his classes, you worked your butt off. I mean, that was no two ways about it. He made you work. He made you learn, and but he made it interesting at the same time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Those are the best kind.
Yeah, they were. Those are the guys you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people you remember that really cracked the whip on you and said, yeah, you're going to do this. So, anyway, I'm getting back to my weather report here.
Yes, sir.
And like I said, if you're going to plant some trees and they're not in your yard, let's say you have an acre and you're going to plant some trees in the back, make sure that you, at least for the first year, like I say, water them on a consistent basis once or twice a month, depends on your soil. And, get that root system established. And once it's established, it's going to, go down to where there is, natural soil moisture, and it's going to survive. It'll work really well, and it's long term. It's on the way to success. And if you have a sprinkler system in your yard, be consistent on your sprinkling. I don't know what water costs nowadays, but I'm sure it's not cheap.
No.
But on the going back to the average rainfall and stuff like that, when we get back to what we would be average, it's going to be better for our forests, for our agricultural lands and all that. And our current average, long term average, is around 34 inches of rain a year. And but for the last 4 or 5 years, we've been in the 24 to 26 to maybe 28. Inches of rain per year. So each year that it drops, it's a little less soil moisture in the long run. And if you add all those years up, you can say, well, we've had 24 inches less rain over that period of time. So and then the net loss of and figuring it all out, and this is my simple mind and my math going through, we've lost 40 inches of rain in a 5-year period.
That's
and
a
then
lot.
And then the snowpack plays a large part in this as well. And the snowpack's been somewhat below normal as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've had some snow, but not to the depths. I remember when my kids were little, we'd go up to Diamond Lake and cut our Christmas tree kind of stuff. My gosh, the snow was, they plow it and everything,
mm-hmm.
but it was 10 feet high on the sides of the road. And you get into the Diamond Lake parking lot, and it's like going through a tunnel, for crying out loud, But
I remember those days.
Yeah, and it was good. And, as I visit my clients' homes to design their landscapes, I keep in the back of my mind, what are the hardy plants? What are the alternative plants that will bloom, that will be pretty, that will, grow X amount and when the client says, well, I'd like a this or a that, and I say, well, that would work under normal circumstances, but a good substitute for that particular plant would be this, and it's just as pretty, maybe it grows a little bit slower, and has not all the qualities of the plants you might like. It will survive in a drier, warmer arena and climate that we've been experiencing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And climate change does happen. But it happens over long periods of time, and it's been happening since the Earth has been here. Remember, there was glaciers at one time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what they tell
okay,
us.
Okay, right. I know. I've seen them.
Yeah.
But, there's a lot of really good plants that you could choose from that will withstand these drier conditions and the heat. They should be given some consideration. And one of the ways to do that is to either on your computer or whatever you use, or library books or plant books or some. Look into it. Do your research, and you'll see. They'll have categories of these are the toughest plants in the world, this is the next toughest, and these are the sissy plants, and they need extra care all the time, and you have to sing lullabies to them. They've got all these types of different plants available, and you can pick and choose, and you can see, hey, is this going to fit? And I encourage my clients to look at those kinds of things and see how they will work in their yard. Now, first, I know some people say, I don't want those. But first on my list of hardy plants are the juniper family. And everybody says, junipers, I hate them things. You know, they just do this and this. But there's good junipers and there's bad junipers.
Okay.
And so before you reject them outright, let me list a few of my favorites. I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think. Gold Coast juniper is probably one of my absolute favorites, and I like it. All the new growth each spring is a yellow, bright, golden color, and it's very attractive, with the older growth kind of a light green. So it always looks fresh and vibrant and inviting. It's not just a dull green or a dull gray-green and just lays there.
Collecting dust.
Right. And it just looks good. It's a compact grower in that it doesn't take over your entire yard and cause a gigantic pruning problem, unless you plant them too close to the house or too close to the driveway. And, some people do that mistakenly. They're very, very pretty. And they're pretty much disease free.
Nice.
And I use them a lot simply because of those attributes of that plant. Somebody wants a plant that they don't have to mess with, that's going to be hardy, that's going to be, quote, deer proof. It's not deer proof, but they won't destroy it like they'll destroy an azalea or something along those lines. And it doesn't grow so large that it's going to move your house or take over your driveway.
Yeah.
But they get about 3 feet tall and maybe 6-7 feet wide at maturity, and that's controllable. So when you plant them, knowing that eventually it'll get, say, 6 feet wide, you put them about 10 feet apart, and you say, well, that's way too far. No, it isn't. Not when they start growing together.
Yeah.
They look really, really good. Then there's some ground cover types.
Can we cover those after the break?
Oh, we got a break? Oh, I'm sorry.
We do. No, that's fine.
We got a break?
We do.
Why?
The last break we have.
Why?
That's just the
break. You're breaking in on my talk.
I know.
Oh, man.
I'm being rude. We'll be back with Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, obviously we're back. Last few minutes with Mike.
Back for the last splash, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Anyway, I've been talking about hardy plants that will work in our drier climate that will actually grow and be attractive in your yard. And I talked earlier about the Gold Coast juniper because that's my favorite, because it's like the prettiest, and it's a good grower, and it's compact and doesn't take over your yard, and as long as you plant them and space them out correctly and keep them away from houses, garages, and driveways. And so I use them a lot. Now, there are ground cover types that hug the ground flat. I'm not a big fan of that, simply because they seem to get fungus problems and rotting problems. And if you keep them pruned and keep it clean around there, it lessens that. But still, over the long haul, it's better if you get a flat ground cover type juniper that you let it hang over a wall or you let it hang over some rocks so that there's some air circulation there and there's less problems with them. And there are some attractive ones. They look good. One that's attractive is called Shore Juniper, and it doesn't lay flat, but it is, you know, 4 to 6 inches of high along the ground, and it is pretty and it is attractive, and I've not experienced any problems with that. But a lot of them, like I say, flat on the ground, after a while you got problems and you begin to hate them and then you rip them out. Okay. Yeah. And
so they can be killed.
They can be killed, yes. And then you got the medium size juniper that are 3 feet tall, 6 feet wide. And then you got the types that grow like 10 feet wide and 4 feet tall, and they take over everything.
Jeez.
And back in the day when I first started, Tam juniper was the star. Oh. I mean, everybody was buying Tam junipers. You know, I can drive you on any block in Roseburg or Douglas County, and somebody's got Tam junipers in their yard. And they're good for, say 6-7 years. After that, they're way too big. Mm. They take over everything. And then they get dead spots in them. And unless you keep them pruned and keep them tight, they're a mess to deal with. And the deer don't eat them. The bugs don't eat them. The sun doesn't hurt them. Rain doesn't hurt them. Snow doesn't hurt them. I mean, they're tougher than anything you can think of. But they're ugly. And they're a hassle. And that's my opinion, okay? And having planted a few thousand of these over the years. But there's a lot of in between sizes and with good colors and good shapes that are attractive and are like a no maintenance plant, and they'll do a nice job. And the secret, like I said, is don't put too many two plants together. And that's it.
That's it.
That's all I'm going to say today.
It's a good way to end the show. Where are you located in Winston?
We are a quarter mile south of Winston on Highway 99. Look for all the big green roofs. And remember, our sale starts Monday the 19th and goes through the 24th, a Saturday. Cash only, baby.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.